Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, world leaders are following the man who said that he would rule like the god Jupiter, and they're forcing COVID vaccinations. The whole world has gone crazy. 2 weeks ago in Paris, Emmanuel Macron made the highly risky move of threatening his subjects with economic deprivation if they continued to refuse to take the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. Amazingly, the majority of the French people bowed down to his demands almost instantly, 3.4 million people in 48 hours. And it created a spontaneous ripple effect that has now arrived here in America. Is Joe Biden following the bidding of Emmanuel Macron? It sure looks like it. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, America is being roiled from the inside out and riddled with confusion in the wake of the endless flip-flopping on vaccine efficacy and constantly shifting science on the COVID-19 virus. Now Joe Biden appears to be following Emmanuel Macron's lead in forcing the citizens that he rules over to take the shot, whether they want it or not. What is actually in that vaccine? Why would world leaders force their people to take it against their will? What we are watching happening right now in France, Australia, the UK, Germany, the Philippines, and now America has much in common with the soon-arriving biblical mark of the beast. World leaders are taking their cues from the man who said that he would rule like the god Jupiter, who dreamt of conquering Europe while riding on a white horse, Emmanuel Macron. These things that are happening are bad, 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 and they're about to get much, much worse. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathering live in the chat room. I'm scrolling through, looking at the prayer requests. Seems that every program that we've been doing over the last couple of months, the prayer requests get longer and longer. Keep Looking Up says, I've been crying and asking the Lord to please come get us out of here. Amen, amen. We're almost home. Titus 2:13 says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jenny has a praise report. She says, as we celebrate the first birthday of our granddaughter, Audrey, baby Audrey and her mom came through a pandemic pregnancy and delivery and first year of life healthy without any problems. Now that's what we like to see, a praise report. And I remember many, many times we prayed for baby Audrey and Audrey's mom to get through everything and not have there to be any problems. And so many prayer requests we put up through here, through this chat room, through this ministry, through this website. And something very, very special happens when God's people get together and they pray for each other. And yes, we have had some pretty rough things to pray for. And we've had some sad things happen. But in the midst of all that, we have had many, many, many praise requests. So today we celebrate the first birthday of baby Audrey, and we wish her a very happy birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home.
Birthday,
it's a special day.
Birthday,
let us celebrate.
Birthday,
yeah.
Amen. Happy birthday. Happy birthday and many more. Chris has a prayer request. Kevin Fleming. I handed out an NTEB track at the gas station the other day, and he is not taking the jab. I showed him a picture of the woman whose arms and legs were amputated. Amen, brother. That was a rough story to do. That was a rough article. But it's the truth. Mark Sherlock, please pray for a single mom named Stephanie. We're taking her to church on Sunday. She is unsaved and has a 4-year-old daughter that my family takes to church on Wednesdays. Also, Mark says, I am a federal government employee and am mandated to take the COVID vaccine. I am very uneasy to do this. If I don't, I could lose my income, health care, and pension. And we're going to pray that the Lord gives Mark Sherlock much wisdom to know what to do. Pine Lady says, a praise report for Beth. She's the young lady who had the adverse reaction to the Moderna vaccine. She developed Lemire's syndrome. And Pine Lady says that Beth is out of the hospital. She needs to stay near the trauma hospital in Hawaii to get IV antibiotics. And I pray that her recovery is 100% with no long-term effects from the jugular clot and double pneumonia. Praise report for Beth getting better. Marilyn says, here in Michigan, the military is closing down the highway to practice landing their planes. And today we're going to talk about Australia, Sydney, Australia, sending out the military to deal with COVID. And we're going to talk about that, and it's, that's going to be a rough one. But that's what's happening right now in Sydney, Australia. They're sending in the military. And we're going to tell you why that they're doing that. Keep Looking Up says, I was watching Pastor Charles Lawson, and he said when he sees Jesus, he will get down on his face and keep repeating, thank you, thank you. Amen. That's what we're all going to do when we get up there to heaven. Let me see if there's any more prayer requests. Diane R. says, prayers for my friend Anne and my daughter Valerie. Chrissy, pray for hospitals that are having their job threatened if they don't take the vaccine. Michael H. says, once my leg is strong, I'm going to come to St. Augustine, Florida. I want to meet you. And that would be great. And we welcome anybody who wants to come. I want to show you the studio. I want to show you the bookstore. We'll have a cup of coffee. And we'll talk about all the things that the Lord is doing through this ministry of Now the End Begins. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you, and for all these prayer requests, plus we pray for safe travels for Lori up in Maine, who's on vacation with her kids right now, and she's witnessing to her brother. And we just pray that God gives her an open door, that God makes her brother's heart soft to the gospel. We pray for Jeanette with sciatica and Jeanette's parents who have multiple health issues. And we pray that God would give a healing in those cases as well. We pray for Mark Bennett. He's been in the hospital for over a week now with COVID pneumonia. And his oxygen levels have dropped to 53%, and they're putting him on dialysis. And Mark Bennett was one of my early street preachers. And I want you to adopt him in your prayers. I really, really, really want to see him get better and walk out of that hospital. So please pray for Mark Bennett, who has COVID pneumonia, and he is not doing well. But we know that we serve a God who orders and reorders our steps. I pray for in Pennsylvania, Amanda, Marie, and Lori D., that God would continue to work and move in their lives today. I pray for Chelsea on the West Coast. I pray for Jacqueline in New Mexico, that God would keep working in their lives as well. I pray for this ministry, Now the End Begins, that God would keep it as robust as it is right now and even increase it. And we are doing so many great things. The Lord is opening so many unbelievable doors right now. And I just pray that he continues to expand us and increase us and the work that we are all doing here through the ministry of Now the End Begins. So please remember all these prayer requests. Remember my friend Mark Bennett. Betty, she had COVID last week and she is better. Joshua Gaskins, he wrote to me the other day, I think yesterday, with a praise report. His entire family had COVID and his entire family has gotten better. And we rejoice with Joshua and his family. And Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you and we ask for you to work and move in a mighty way. And guest says, please pray for my son in Jacksonville. Where is it? I missed it. I don't see it. If you could please repost that prayer request, that would be great. It popped up and then it disappeared. But Heavenly Father, for all these prayer requests, would you pray for my son in Jacksonville? He's in a gay lifestyle. Please pray that God would get him out. Amen. And God can get him out. There's no question about it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Lord, we commit this time and this broadcast to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very, very glad that you're here today. And we have so much to talk about. First thing we're going to talk about today, the Sydney Army has been deployed in Australia to deal with the Delta variant outbreak of the COVID pandemic. So, 2 weeks ago, Emmanuel Macron in France, right around the middle of July, Emmanuel Macron in France decided that he was going to roll the dice and he was going to force his people to take the vaccine. Doesn't matter how many adverse reactions, doesn't matter who didn't want to do it, who didn't matter who didn't want to take it. And Emmanuel Macron made the stunning announcement that he was going to force his people. And when I say force, he was planning on threatening them with loss of their jobs. He was going to deny them access to the workplace, to the marketplace. You know, Revelation 13, 16 through 18 says that that mark of the beast allows people to buy and sell. The mark of the beast is something that is intimately connected with the marketplace. So anytime that you see things happening on a national and international level that have to do with allowing people to have access or denying people's access to the marketplace to buy and sell, you always got to make a little bit of a mental note. You always got to make a little bit of a mental note and see if there's anything that connects to the mark of the beast. Now, we know as Bible believers that we will be removed in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church before the mark of the beast is revealed. When we rightly divide, when we are dispensationally accurate, we see very, very clearly that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church has got to take place before the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation. But Emmanuel Macron, that we have told you about this guy over and over and over and over, this is the man who said that on the day that he became president of France, he gave an interview and he said that it was his desire that he would be able to rule Europe like the god Jupiter. And if you're familiar with Greek mythology, you know that Jupiter was the god of all gods. Jupiter was the most powerful god. And Emmanuel Macron, he doesn't identify with Jesus Christ. He doesn't identify with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Emmanuel Macron identifies with gods. The gods that we read about in the Bible that are not gods, but are actually devils. And that's who Emmanuel Macron has identified himself with the entire time. And we did an article here last year entitled, "Your Head Will Spin After You Realize That Emmanuel Macron Has Both Jewish Ancestry and Inexplicable Ties to Rome and to the Assyrian Empire." Now, Emmanuel Macron has five names. Doesn't have two or three or four. Emmanuel Macron has five names. Emmanuel, that means God with us. Jean, meaning the Lord is gracious. Michel, meaning who is like God. Frederick, peaceful ruler. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that the Antichrist comes with peace. And the word Macron means a short, straight, horizontal mark. So this is who we say is the person that we likely suspect to be the biblical man of sin. And I just want to remind you of a few things. People think that Macron came out of nowhere. Well, he came out of somewhere. And here's a very short history of the history of Emmanuel Macron. In 2014, Emmanuel Macron was invited by Henry Kissinger to attend the Bilderberg Conference in Copenhagen. It's a globalist elite meeting with the world's wealthiest, most powerful individuals. One of the topics that was to be discussed is what is next for Europe. So Emmanuel Macron cut his baby teeth with the Bilderberger Group and people like Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and all those people. And we've told you many, many times, David Rockefeller, that we connect with Anthony Fauci going back 20 years. We showed you that picture of Anthony Fauci with George Soros and David Rockefeller and Bill Gates Sr. Well, Emmanuel Macron, in 2014, he was invited by Henry Kissinger. So obviously he's not nobody. Obviously he's somebody. And he's somebody that the New World Order has been grooming for quite some time. Now, we're going to get to all this COVID stuff in just a minute. But I need you to understand that I don't do these articles about Emmanuel Macron because I have something against him, because I don't. We do these articles about Emmanuel Macron because the qualifications of this person from an end times perspective is literally off the charts. And 2 weeks ago, he made this very, very risky move of threatening the entire French population with economic deprivation and the inability to buy food, clothing, and shelter. And the French people, some resisted, but millions of them ran right out the next day and they got the vaccine. And now every other world leader has been watching what Macron did in France and how the French people ultimately, they caved into his demands. And now we've been seeing that in America, in the Philippines, in the UK, in Germany, in Australia. And it's all been since Emmanuel Macron did this a little over 2 weeks ago. So in 2014, Emmanuel Macron is taken to a Bilderberg meeting with Henry Kissinger. This is the very same meeting that David Rockefeller said this about. David Rockefeller is one of the founding members of the Bilderberg Group. And when he wrote his memoirs, this is what David Rockefeller said about the Bilderberg meetings. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings, the Bilderberg meetings, and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is a more sophisticated place and prepared to march towards a world government. In 2014, Emmanuel Macron was taken by Henry Kissinger to the Bilderberg meeting. And I believe it was there that he was anointed to be the one. 2 years later, in 2016, he gathered with guests in his hometown exactly 1 year before the election to announce his new political movement called En Marche, which means on the move. A guest who attended that event said, "It felt like I was at a wedding, a small room, emotional, a speech. In fact, it was a birth." That's what somebody who attended that private meeting that Emmanuel Macron had in 2016. They said it was like being at a wedding. It was highly emotional. It was like watching something being born. And then in 2017, at the age of 39, Emmanuel Macron became the youngest head of state in French history and an international star. French newspapers reported, and you can Google this, French newspapers reported that Emmanuel Macron won with 66.6% of the vote. That caused Christine Boutin, the president of the Christian Democratic Party, to speculate if Macron's election was the work of Satan. Emmanuel Macron, 3 years after attending his first Bilderberg meeting, he won by 66.6% of the vote. He chose to give his acceptance speech in front of the Louvre Museum. And if you've ever seen a picture of the Louvre Museum, you know that it has a glass pyramid right out in front. That's where Macron chose to give his acceptance speech. When he met with the Pope in 2018, 1 year after he was elected, another amazing thing happened. Emmanuel Macron met with the Pope, and Pope Francis gave this supposedly unknown person the longest private audience with him that he has given to any other world leader. Now, why would Pope Francis do that? Emmanuel Macron's not a Catholic. He was baptized at the age of 12 in the Catholic Church, but he's not a Catholic. Emmanuel Macron has previously declared himself to be what he calls an agnostic Catholic. When he met with the Pope for almost an hour, he emerged. He put a hand on Pope Francis' shoulder and kissed him on both cheeks. During his visit to Rome, Emmanuel Macron paid a visit to the Lateran Basilica, a church with long-standing ties to the French monarchy, where he took his title as an honorary proto-canon of St. John Laternian, the first and only person to receive such an honor, which was significant in regard to the relationship between church and state. Several of Macron's predecessors declined this honor, but he accepted it without hesitation. Why is that significant? Because this honor that was bestowed upon Macron is in commemoration of a king fully and publicly renouncing Protestantism and devoting his throne to Roman Catholicism. Now, if you haven't read this story that was written by Lori D. and myself, go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go to the section on Emmanuel Macron and read this amazing article for yourself. And when you're done and you run the Bible references and you pray about it, I think you're going to come to the same conclusion that we did, that Emmanuel Macron is highly likely the biblical man of sin. Now that we've set the table, now that I've said all that, I'll say this. In the 2 weeks since Emmanuel Macron threatened the entire nation of France with economic and financial deprivation, world leaders have been rapidly following in his footsteps. Take a listen to this.
Sydney, Australia's poorest neighborhoods will be getting military enforcement of the city's toughest and longest COVID lockdown. Restrictions began 5 weeks ago amid an outbreak of the Delta variant. Still, case numbers in the city of 5 million have remained high. So starting Monday, Australian Army personnel will help police knock on the doors of people who have tested positive to ensure they are isolating. For more on this story, let's cross to our correspondent in Sydney, Rochelle Harrison-Pless. Rochelle, why did the government decide that the military needed to get involved here? And what other details can you tell us?
Well, it's not the first time that the army has been called in to help during this pandemic. They helped out in Melbourne last year at the height of the outbreak in Victoria. They're also helping out with hotel quarantine here in Sydney, but also other cities across Australia. Now, we know that some 300 soldiers will assist state police with compliance operations across 8 local government areas in Western and Southwestern Sydney, where currently nearly 2 million people, nearly 2 million residents are under hard lockdown. Now, these soldiers have deployed today to do training, do some training over the weekend, and then we'll see boots on the ground as early as Monday. They'll be assisting police to ensure that people are doing the right thing, that they're complying with the tougher restrictions of this hard lockdown. And it comes as authorities have today been given new, wider powers to crack down on businesses and people found to be breaching public health orders.
So there you have it. Sydney has been given new wide-ranging powers to crack down on people who aren't doing what the government tells them to do. Here in America, our government flip-flops more than a dying fish that's been thrown out onto the deck on a hot summer afternoon. They're constantly flipping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Is it any wonder why Americans are having trouble believing what our government is telling us? The reason why there's so much vaccine hesitancy and the reason why people are not believing what our government says is because they are constantly going from one side to the other. Take a listen to what Vice President Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden said about the COVID vaccine just a couple of months ago.
So the first question is, the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion.
Who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Would you get it? Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us. I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
The American people don't trust the process. I don't trust the process.
You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
And there you have people like Jen Psaki, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Vice President Kamala Harris, and President Joe Biden casting fairly heavy aspersions on the safety of the COVID vaccine. Is it any wonder why people are confused as to what to believe? This is what Anthony Fauci said in June of 2020.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask.
So there's Anthony Fauci telling you in June of 2020 that nobody in America... Now, in June of 2020, the COVID pandemic was fairly underway. That pandemic started here for us in the beginning of March. It started where it was originally released from, in Wuhan, China, in the end of 2019. But by the end of February, the beginning of March, here in America, the COVID pandemic was pretty much underway. Remember, 15 days to flatten the curve, which became 16 months. So if you go from, say, March 18th, March, April, May, June, 90 days after America went into lockdown for a COVID pandemic, 90 days after that time, flip-flopper in chief Anthony Fauci said, and you heard him say it, that masks do not protect you in the case of an outbreak. And he was talking about cloth masks. He was not talking about surgical masks. Most people don't have access to surgical masks. But the type of masks that Anthony Fauci was referring to was cloth masks. Now, flash forward to this week, and this is what we hear from our government.
Mr. President, you said if you're fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. And it seems...
I have to say, if you're fully vaccinated in an area where we do not have... Well, let me clarify.
In May, you made it sound like a vaccine was the ticket to losing the mask forever. And it...
That is true at the time. That getting vaccinated made a gigantic difference. And what happened was, a new variant came along, they didn't get vaccinated, it was spread more rapidly, and more people were getting sick. That's the difference.
The CDC recommends you wear a mask when you're in public and indoors, like work or in a grocery store. That's true for both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Why? Because even if you've been fully vaccinated, and protect it from severe illness from COVID-19, you could have the Delta variant in your system and spread it to someone who isn't vaccinated. We need to wear a mask to protect each other and to stop the rapid spread of this virus as we work to get more people vaccinated.
Still, then why do vaccinated people need to put the masks back on?
Well, Peter, first of all, I would say again, just to go back to this chart, which I will handily point to again, if you were vaccinated, It can save your life. And I think the clear data shows that this pandemic is killing, is hospitalizing, is making people very sick who are not vaccinated. That still continues to be the case, regardless of what the mask guidance looks like.
If the vaccines work, which this sign says that they do, then why do people who have had the vaccine need to now wear masks the same as people who have not had it?
Just last week, at the CNN town hall, Joe Biden, who was doing the town hall with CNN's Don Lemon, he said repeatedly, and I want to read to you a couple of the quotes from Joe Biden from the town hall of July 22nd. So it's just it's like a week and a half ago. Joe Biden said this: if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in the IC unit, and you're not going to die. Then Joe Biden said, you are not going to get COVID if you have had these vaccinations. Then he said that he has no knowledge of anybody who was vaccinated that has been hospitalized for COVID or has died from COVID. Just this morning, I read an article, 25% of the new COVID outbreaks in California are among vaccinated people. 25% of the hospitalizations in California right now are from vaccinated people. So one reason why people have vaccine hesitancy is because the people who are in charge are obviously, they're not giving you science, because science doesn't change 15 different times in a 90-day period. One mask, two masks, three masks, no masks. These are all positions that our government has taken. Anthony Fauci said last year, masks don't work. Now he says, if you don't wear one, you're not a good American. Now he says that vaccinated people who, just a couple of months ago, when they were telling you that if you want to take the mask off, you have to get vaccinated, that was a lie as well. And millions of people went out in America and got the vaccine. 11,000 people died. 250,000 people were hospitalized because they got the vaccine. But millions of Americans went out and got the vaccine because they were told repeatedly, the only way to get your freedom back is to take the vaccine. So they took the vaccine. And then they got their freedom taken away almost as soon as they received the vaccine. Is it any wonder why people like Jim Jordan are calling Anthony Fauci a liar?
Friday, January 31st, 2020, at 10:32 p.m., Dr. Fauci gets an email from Christian Anderson. Christian Anderson's a British researcher who's received numerous grants from NIH. Two really important sentences are in that email. Two sentences that get Dr. Fauci's attention. The first is this: the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome, so one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features look engineered. Again, this is January 31st, 2020. Second sentence: Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. Email arrives 10:32 to Dr. Fauci on January 31st, 2020. 2 hours later, 2 hours later, at 12:29 in the morning, Dr. Fauci sends an email to his top deputy, Mr. Hugh Auchincloss. Guy has worked for Fauci for 15 years, part of his inner circle. Sends it, subject line says important in all capital letters. He attaches a paper on gain-of-function research written by Dr. Barrick and Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi, of course, is the so-called bat lady, bat woman, the lady who does research in the Wuhan, China lab. This email, Dr. Fauci says, again, to his top deputy, it is essential that we speak this AM. Keep your cell phone on. Read this paper. You will have tasks to do today that must be done. Notice the intensity. Notice the focus. I mean, this is the house is on fire email here. Now, 2 hours after that, at 2:48 in the morning, Dr. Fauci's busy this morning. 12:29, that email he sent to Dr. Auchincloss, his top deputy. 2 hours later at 2:48 in the morning, he sends another email, this one to Robert Kadlec, assistant HHS secretary, Trump appointee, not part of his inner circle, and he attaches a different article to this email, one that says the virus came from an animal that downplays any lab leak theory. Now, again, notice the tone of this one. Bob, this just came out today. Gives a balanced view. Best, Tony. I mean, totally different from the previous. This is one like, oh, if you get a chance, read this. Gives a balanced view. So the tone is different, but also that sentence, gives a balanced view, it's not true either. That's just not accurate. This article downplays, as I said, the lab leak theory, emphasizes evolutionary cause to the virus. What happens next? What happens next? Later that same morning at 11:47 a.m., Dr. Fauci's deputy gets back to him. I just want to read you this whole email. The paper you sent me, the one he sent him on that was written by the virologist from Wuhan, China, and Dr. Barrick, the paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain-of-function pause but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what that means, since Emily, someone else who works for Dr. Fauci, is sure that no coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework, which, of course, is the oversight body that's supposed to approve any grant dollars going for gain-of-function research. No coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework.
So there you have Jim Jordan, and he is telling you about the email, the stunning email chain between Anthony Fauci and people who worked in the Wuhan lab in Wuhan, China, that was funded by America. Rand Paul, a couple of days ago, called for criminal charges to be readied against Anthony Fauci. And everywhere you look across America right now, we are actually getting ready for another lockdown. And that's one thing that you have to prepare yourself for. So if you remember what the first lockdown was like and how all the food was taken off of the grocery shelves and all those different things, if I were you, I would make sure, starting as soon as you possibly can, I would make sure that you had enough food and water and toilet paper and whatever supplies that you think that you might need. Here's an article yesterday. The White House said Thursday that President Joe Biden would obey the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, if they wanted to do another COVID lockdown. So yesterday, Joe Biden was asked specifically about the possibility of another nationwide lockdown, and he simply said, we will follow the recommendations of the CDC that is controlled by Anthony Fauci, the person that who is an absolute, by his own testimony, he is a horrific liar and a flip-flopper and a hypocrite. So the Biden administration is preparing you. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be another lockdown. I'm just simply saying that they are already floating the trial balloons about another lockdown. And they said yesterday, if the CDC says we need to lock down, the Biden administration will be in full compliance with that order. Nancy Pelosi is calling for the arrest of lawmakers and visitors who come to the nation's capital, whether they come to visit or come to work. Nancy Pelosi yesterday called for the arrest and imprisonment of anybody who is found on Capitol grounds without wearing a mask. Capitol Police have been directed to arrest staff and visitors to comply with her mask mandate for vaccinated individuals. So here you have in Congress, the third most powerful person in the United States, Nancy Pelosi. Yesterday, she instructed the Capitol Police to begin arresting fully vaccinated people who refuse to wear a mask. Representative Lee Zeldin from New York said this: "This is so out of control. Pelosi is massively drunk on power, obsessed with control, and hypocritical and partisan beyond belief. This is not about mask mandates. These enforcement measures are now absurd." In Washington, D.C., at this very moment, there are 27 people hospitalized with COVID. In any one of the hospitals in Washington, D.C., 27 people hospitalized with COVID. Does that now, that's a horrible thing that anybody is hospitalized with COVID, and I am not minimalizing that, but 27 people doesn't really sound like it's going to crash the hospital system in Washington, D.C. Fox News released this graphic: Washington, D.C. COVID deaths from July 14th to July 28th were four people. Four people died in Washington, D.C. between July 14th and July 28th from COVID. During that same period of time, there were 11 homicides where 11 people were murdered. So the murder rate in Washington, D.C. is 250% higher than the COVID death rate. There's no pandemic over the amount of murders that are happening. Nobody is shutting down any part of Washington, D.C. because the murder rate is 250% higher than the COVID death rate. Nobody is alarmed about that. So when you hear these hospitals talking about these skyrocketing numbers, in 9 out of 10 cases, what you don't hear is what the numbers actually are. So if you have nobody dying from COVID, and then you have four people dying of COVID, that's a 400% increase in the COVID death rate. But four people is not a lot of people. 11 people in that same time period were murdered. And nobody's even talking about that. One of the reasons why COVID is spiking in America is because our southern border is wide open. Joe Biden said from the very day that he took office that he was not going to close the border for the first 100 days of his presidency. And that sent a message to every third world country that is south of us. America is wide open, and you can just come walking through our open border. Now, I want you to listen to this clip from Tucker. One reason why COVID is spiking right now is because every single day, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants are allowed into this country. They're not wearing a mask. They're not being tested for COVID. They're sick with COVID. And then they're put on buses and they're released to small towns all across the Midwest and the Far West and the Northeast. The Biden administration is telling you that you have to take a vaccine, you have to put a mask on, and every single day our southern border remains wide open, and thousands of illegals who are sick with COVID are streaming across the border, and they're being sent to every small town in America. And you wonder where the COVID spike is coming from? Joe Biden wants to shut you down. He doesn't want to shut the border down. Joe Biden wants to put a mask on your six-year-old child. Joe Biden doesn't want to put a mask on illegal immigrants. And now, I'm not saying this stuff to get you mad, and I'm not saying this stuff to get you riled up. I'm telling you this because it is true. The Biden administration has no plan to deal with the border. They have no desire to deal with the border, and they haven't done anything for the last 7 months that they have been in power. And COVID is coming across our southern border in thousands and thousands and thousands of cases, and nobody is stopping it, nobody is checking it. The local border patrols are absolutely and immediately overwhelmed. Border agents in Texas are coming down with COVID every single day because the people that they're arresting are sick with COVID. And those same COVID-infected illegal immigrants are put on buses and they're sent to small towns just like where you live. Take a listen to this.
New developments on the southern border tonight. It's becoming obvious that open borders are, in effect, the policy, the official policy of the Biden administration. Axios reports tonight that approximately 50,000 migrants caught crossing the southern border have been released into our country without a court date. Now, technically, those migrants have been instructed to report to ICE offices, but they don't. Studies show only about 10% of them have done. Probably fewer than that will. An immigration official just told this show that this is now standard operating procedure. So you get caught crossing the border, not just from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala, but maybe from across the ocean, maybe from the Middle East, from Africa, from the Caribbean. And you're told to show up at an ICE office wherever you choose to settle. And according to two whistleblowers from Joe Biden's HHS, many of these migrants are infected with COVID-19. Quote, hundreds of children contracted COVID in the overcrowded conditions in the migrant shelters. The whistleblower said in a new federal complaint, adequate masks were not consistently provided to children, nor was their use consistently enforced. Think about that. Your kindergartner is going to be forced to wear a mask because the teachers' unions are in charge of the Biden administration's health policy. But illegal migrants with COVID don't have to wear masks. How does that work? Well, because they're future Democratic Party voters. They can do what they want. And we know the Biden administration is not even bothering to figure out where they're going. This is one of the great scandals of our age, and no one is stopping it. We went down to the border town of Uvalde, Texas, for a brand new episode of our documentary series. It's called Tucker Carlson Originals. The documentary is called The Illegal Invasion, and it's a look at why so many illegal aliens are flooding the border and what they've done to the people who live there. Here's a look at what we found. Joe Biden took office in January of 2021. One of the very first things he did was deliberately provoke what may be the largest surge in illegal immigration in American history.
Nobody is going to be deported in my first 100 days.
Foreign nationals from around the world, from Congo to Haiti to Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador to the Middle East, all heard Joe Biden's call.
De donde son?
Ghana.
Ghana. You're from Ghana.
In the first 6 months of the Biden presidency, nearly a million foreign nationals arrived in this country. They came up through Mexico. What is life like for the Americans who live along the Mexican border? We thought we'd find out.
In the last 6 months, it's become the wild, wild west.
Don McLaughlin is the mayor of Uvalde, Texas. Uvalde is about 60 miles from the Mexican border. We interviewed him earlier this year, and when we did, he invited us to come visit him in Uvalde. We took him up on the offer.
this is what we found.
The mass arrival of foreign nationals into this small Texas town has made life miserable for the people who live there.
This has become a third world country.
Weston Robertson lives on 22 acres near the railroad tracks.
I carry a firearm 24 hours a day out here all the time. Even my mother, who is elderly, will not even leave the house, go outside to water flowers without her personally carrying a firearm.
If you live on the edge of town and that, and you're out in your yard, chances are you've got a shotgun or a pistol out there with you. And it shouldn't be that way.
But it is that way. Uvalde residents watch helplessly as Central Americans, Haitians, even people from Africa cross their fields, break into their sheds, and camp on their land.
But they're coming into these cars and spending the night. There's food packets from where they're sitting in here eating.
Since the new administration took office, the federal government is no longer willing to enforce existing immigration law. Americans living in Uvalde have no option but to defend themselves.
I cannot even go from my house to my barn or to their chicken coop or anywhere without carrying a gun. I don't even leave my house without it.
This woman spoke on the condition of anonymity. She fears retaliation from the Mexican cartels, which she says are operating in Uvalde.
I came out one day, had four men running directly at my house, where one tried to break into our house while I was here.
Our crime's up. Our car break-ins are up. Our house burglaries are up.
It seems like we just don't have as many rights as even the illegals do. You know, I will defend my house if I had to.
You can watch a full episode of that.
So there you have Tucker Carlson and showing you in no uncertain terms that when Joe Biden took office, he promised that for the first 100 days, the border would not be closed, and it was not closed. And here we are 6 months, 7 months later, the border has not been closed one single day. One of the places where this new spike in COVID cases is coming from the thousands of illegal aliens who are coming across our border, bringing COVID with them. There's no mask mandate for the people coming across the border illegally. There's no lockdowns for the people coming across the border. These people are just allowed to do whatever they want to do, and then they are put on buses, and they are sent to dozens and dozens of small towns all across the country. So, I do not believe our government when they tell us the things that they tell us, because if our government was telling the truth, our government, the first thing that they would do is they would lock down the border to stop the flow of COVID-infected illegal immigrants who are coming across unchecked and then being dispersed across the entire country. The fact that they don't do that shows me that the other things that they want to do, like make everybody wear a mask and make everybody take a vaccine that by their own admission, they are now saying does not stop you from getting COVID. When they first came out with the vaccine, this was going to be the answer. It was going to stop the pandemic. And they sold you this vaccine. They terrified you into taking this vaccine by telling you that if you took it, you wouldn't get COVID. And that was a lie. That is not true. And in fact, right now, all across America and all across the world, and even in Israel, you're seeing fully vaccinated people infecting non-vaccinated people. So this idea that if you've taken the vaccine, you can't carry the virus is not true. This idea that if you've taken the vaccine, you won't get sick with COVID, that is not true. This idea that if you take the vaccine, you won't die from COVID, that also is not true. Take a listen to this. Healthcare workers being interviewed as to why they are choosing to not take the vaccine.
Show of hands, how many of you have gotten a COVID vaccine?
These are four healthcare workers from different hospitals in North Carolina.
Why not?
We don't know what the long-term side effects are.
It also hasn't been proven to be effective.
The CDC and many public health experts say that it's more than 90% effective.
They do say that. That hasn't proven to me to be true. I'm not going to just jump on a bandwagon with something that has not been tested.
When you say that it hasn't been tested, it has been tested, though.
But not to the, if you look at the normal year span of how long something is tested, it's usually 12 to 14 years before it comes to humans.
Across the country, about one in four healthcare workers still isn't vaccinated against COVID. And from North Carolina to Texas to New York, anti-mandate protests are mounting.
I don't trust it right now.
So is the pushback.
This is in the category of give me a bleeping break. When did everyone get a medical degree?
For weeks, we've spoken with many overworked healthcare workers who practically begged Americans to get the shot.
What do you tell people who just don't believe you?
It's frustrating.
Not these. They say they're not anti-vax, more anti-mandate.
And I'm not comfortable putting something into my body until I am ready. If and when I'm ready to get the vaccine, I will get it on my own accord. I won't be forced.
You just don't trust the CDC.
I do not trust the CDC. Absolutely not.
And that fuels their skepticism.
I have the right to question anybody in this country I want to question. Mm-hmm.
You're entitled to your own opinion, but these are facts.
Are they, though? Mm-hmm. Are they facts?
Lester, more than 40,000 people participated in the Pfizer clinical trial alone, but those workers are among the many who are not convinced.
So there you have four healthcare workers, and they're not convinced. And the reason why they're not convinced, and hey, look, if you're from the government and you're monitoring this program to see what we're saying here, to see what type of information that we're sharing and spreading, let me speak directly to you right now. If you work for the CDC, if you work for the CIA or the FBI, let me speak directly to you. One reason why the American people do not believe what they're being told is because they've been lied to over and over and over and over again. People in government have flip-flopped consistently and constantly, time and time and time again. We've known about HIV/AIDS for over 40 years. And since the mid-1980s, the United States of America has spent untold tens of billions of dollars in trying to come up with a vaccine for the HIV virus. We have had over 40 years to study HIV. And we are no closer in 2021 to coming up with a virus for AIDS, with a vaccine for the AIDS virus. We are no closer in 2021 to doing that than we were in 1984. And yet, we are expected to believe that a coronavirus that comes out of nowhere, the COVID-19 novel coronavirus, novel referring to the fact that nobody has seen it before, we're expected to believe that pharmaceutical companies, not scientists, but pharmaceutical companies were able to come up with a vaccine for a global deadly viral pandemic in 20 weeks when the entire world couldn't come up with a vaccine for AIDS in 40 years. And this is why people don't believe what they're being told, is because none of it makes sense. None of it sounds true. And the average thinking person is rejecting what they're being told because it sounds like a lie. Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, just a couple of days ago, he said, it's time to stop being so nice. And it's time to start forcing people to take the vaccine.
12 years old and up. And look, I'm a parent. My kids went to New York City public schools. If my kids were going to school in September, I would be running to get them vaccinated right now. And like was said a moment ago, you know, we used to do this as parents all the time for a variety of vaccinations. We've got to shake people at this point and say, come on now. We tried voluntary. You know, we could not have been more kind and compassionate as a country. Free testing everywhere you turn. Incentives. Friendly, warm embrace. The voluntary phase is over. We can keep doing those things. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm saying voluntary alone doesn't work. It's time for mandates.
So there you have it. Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, he says it's time for mandates. That's a legal term for forced vaccinations. And this is where everything is heading. This is where they want to go. Take a listen to what Chip Roy said about Nancy Pelosi's mask mandate and having people arrested for daring to walk on Capitol grounds with no mask on.
The American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people, nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it? Vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work so they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer a single question about natural immunity. Have you been infected with a virus? Do you have immunity? Or are they just going to go around poking people saying you must take a vaccine? Oh, but sorry, the vaccine doesn't work. You must wear a mask. This institution is a sham, and we should adjourn and shut this place down. Fentanyl is killing our children.
Well, there was Chip Roy, and he was telling you how he feels about the mask mandates. Are you starting to see with everything that we've been talking about over the last hour and all the clips that I've been playing for you? Are you starting to see why people are hesitant to take the vaccine? Because they feel like they're being lied to. Would you trust somebody if you were walking down the street and some stranger stepped out of the shadows and reached into his pocket and showed you a handful of pills and he said, here, take these pills, they'll be good for you. Would you believe that shadowy character coming up out of the side streets, coming up out of the alley, coming up out of the gutter? No. You wouldn't believe somebody like that because somebody like that is not trustworthy. The people who are running the United States of America are not trustworthy people. They want to make us wear a mask while illegal immigrants are allowed to pour across our borders with no masks, infected with COVID, and then American tax dollars pay for those infected illegal aliens to be put on buses and to be spread like super spreaders all across the United States. I wonder how much the current COVID outbreak would suddenly plummet if you shut the borders and stopped busing COVID-infected illegals to small towns across America. I wonder how rapidly that would shut down the current outbreak. It makes me mad that our government won't do that. That is just common sense. Donald Trump did that. He shut the border down. When the COVID outbreak started, he refused flights from China, and everybody got all mad at him. But that was the right thing to do. The right thing to do right now is to shut the border down and stop not one illegal immigrant coming in until this COVID pandemic is done. Not one. Joe Biden doesn't want to help the immigrants from Cuba because they are trying to flee communism. The Biden administration fully supports communism. So you see absolutely no help of any kind. Just a couple of days ago, 27 immigrants from Cuba who were attempting to come to America for freedom and for safety, they were turned away. The Biden administration says they couldn't come in. Well, all they would have to do, hey, listen, if you're listening to this show in Cuba, all you have to do is get into your boat and instead of going from Cuba to Florida, go from Cuba to Texas, go all the way under the bottom of America and pilot your boat or your raft to Texas, and you can just walk right through. You won't be turned away at all. And these are the things that are coming out of our government, and this is why people are hesitant to take the vaccine. How about this from Andrew Cuomo? Andrew Cuomo, who was accused by over two dozen women that used to work for him, that he sexually molested them. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I'm just saying there's about 24 different women that used to work for him as his employees who have made the claims of sexual harassment and molestation, unwanted touching and unwanted conversations. The same Andrew Cuomo whose executive order was responsible for the death of 17,000 elderly in nursing homes. The Biden administration just dropped the investigation into Andrew Cuomo. Nothing to see there. Biden says that Cuomo will not be investigated. We live in a day and age where you're a bad person if you ask questions. But this is what Andrew Cuomo said just a couple of days ago, and he's talking to you when he said it. Take a listen.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Well, Andrew Cuomo said that He needs to send people to your house to pull you out of where you live, out of the safety of your own home. Andrew Cuomo says you need to be pulled out of your house, put into a vehicle, and taken to an undisclosed location where a needle is to be stuck in your arm whether you want it to be or not. That's what Andrew Cuomo said that you need to have done to you. Now, you remember last year when we told you about Bill A410? That bill shocked a lot of people. And it's a bill that says that the government in New York City has the right, if you're infected with any sort of a disease, that this bill is going to give the government of New York the power to have you removed from your house. And I wonder if that's what Cuomo was thinking about when he said what I just played in that clip for you. I wonder if he was thinking about that bill that is still before the New York Senate that they have not ruled on yet. I'm sorry, I said it was Bill A410. It is Bill A416. And this is a bill, this is not conspiracy theory. None of what we're giving you here is conspiracy theory. Everything that we're giving you today is all factual information. It sounds like conspiracy theory, I'll grant you that, but it's not. New York State Assembly proposes new bill A416 that would take disease carriers and place them into holding areas designated by Governor Cuomo. Bill A416 says this: it is for the removal and detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who are or may be a danger to the public health. The governor, that's Cuomo, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or a group of such persons by issuing a single order. And such persons or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee, and complying with subdivision 5 of this section. And if you haven't heard about Bill A416, you really need to check it out. It is still pending before the New York State Legislature. We brought you this story back on January 2nd of this year. So for the last 6 months, the New York State Assembly has been debating the merits of A416. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to play this clip one more time so that you get the full effect.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Yes, that is the mission. When you combine that statement with what Mayor de Blasio said, that it's time to stop being so nice and time to start mandating vaccines, and when you combine that with Cuomo, de Blasio, and Bill A416, you are talking about a New World Order state that is lifted right out of the book of Revelation. And that is what's happening right now. These are the things that are taking place right now. Now, what can you do? The main thing that you should be doing is protecting yourself from the COVID virus. I've told you multiple times, I am not one of those people that think that the virus is fake. I believe that it's had gain-of-function research performed on it. But I do not believe that the COVID-19 virus is fake. I believe it's very real, and I believe it has the absolute capacity to kill people. My friend Mark Bennett is in the hospital right now with COVID pneumonia. Joshua Gaskins and his entire family recently recovered from COVID. We've been praying for Betty. She recently recovered from COVID and she's feeling much better. And she says, thank you for all the prayers. But COVID as a virus is not fake. So here's what you can do to protect yourself. Every single day, you need to take between 4 and 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Every single day, you need to be taking a minimum of 5,000 IUs of vitamin D3. You need to be taking 200 milligrams of CoQ10, ubiquinol. You need to be taking 500 milligrams of magnesium, 50 milligrams of zinc, and a good B-complex supplement. I take those things every single day. Now, it's not a guarantee that you won't get COVID, but when you take those supplements on a daily basis, that will keep your body strong. That will give your natural immune system the ability to fight back. Avoid large groups of people. If you're thinking about going to the movies, don't go. If you're thinking about going to concerts or big shopping malls, indoor malls, stay away from large groups of people. Get as much rest as you possibly can. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke cigarettes. Definitely don't vape. We've done lots of articles on how damaging the oil from vaping is. So you've got to really take care of yourself. Take those vitamin supplements that I told you about. I take them every single day. I took them this morning. Eat as much fruits and vegetables as you possibly can. And most of all, Proverbs chapter 3. This is rapidly becoming our verse to deal with COVID. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You've got to remember one thing. In this world, this sin-cursed world that we live in, there's always going to be a pandemic of something. You're going to have HIV, Ebola, West Nile virus, bird flu, swine flu, coronavirus, COVID. Whatever you can possibly think of, this world is never not going to have those things until Jesus returns for 1,000 years of perfect rule and righteousness. So in the meantime, take those vitamin supplements that I told you about. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to large groups of people. Wash your hands. If you feel sick, stay home. If you know people that are sick, try not to expose yourself to them. But most of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't try to figure it out yourself. Because the information that we are all getting on a daily basis is massively contradictory information. And I understand why people don't trust the government. And I understand why people don't want to take the shot. Why they are so suspicious of a shot that was able to be created in 20 weeks. And they couldn't create one in 40 years for HIV. These are things that should make you suspicious. God gave you a brain. Use it. If you're saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit. Let that be your guide. And if you're not saved, it really doesn't matter if you die of COVID or something else. If you're not saved, even if you live for another 100 years, if you're not saved and you die in that condition, you're going to take your last breath here and you're going to exhale it in the burning fires of almighty hell. There's no escape from hell. You can't get out. Fauci is not your savior. Wearing a mask is not your savior. Taking the COVID vaccine is not your salvation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I want to thank you so very much for tuning in. And remember, there is hope. Don't be so dismayed. It's not all doom and gloom. These are the times that the Bible said would come. And they are here. Lift up your voice and tell this lost and dying world about salvation in Jesus Christ. Nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody is guaranteed even until the end of today. Take the time that you have left and make a difference for Jesus Christ. People are starving for the truth. And if you're saved and you have a King James Bible, you have the voice of truth. Stand on it. Use it. Open your mouth and proclaim it to a lost and dying world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their arms.
wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants calling out my name and they laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Listening.